Chapter 33. When the march past was finished, Joan returned to the front and rode at the head of the column. When we began to file past those grim bastilles, and could glimpse the men within, standing to their guns and ready to empty death into our ranks, such a faintness came over me, and such a sickness, that all things seemed to turn dim, and swim before my eyes. And the other boys looked droopy too, I thought, including the paladin, although I do not know this for certain, because he was ahead of me, and I had to keep my eyes out toward the Bastille side, because I could wince better when I saw what to wince at. But Joan was at home in paradise, I might say. She sat up straight, and I could see that she was feeling different from me. The awfulest thing was the silence. There wasn't a sound, but the screeching of the saddles, the measured tramplings, and the sneezing of the horses, afflicted by the smothering dust clouds which they kicked up. I wanted to sneeze myself, but it seemed to me that I would rather go unsneezed, or suffer even a bitterer torture, if there is one, than attract attention to myself. I was not of a rank to make suggestions, or I would have suggested that, if we went faster we should get by sooner. It seemed to me that it was an ill-judged time to be taking a walk. Just as we were drifting in that suffocating stillness past a great cannon that stood just within a raised portcullis, with nothing between me and it but the moat, a most uncommon jackass in there split the world with his bray, and I fell out of the saddle. Sir Bertrand grabbed me as I went, which was well, for if I had gone to the ground in my armor I could not have gotten up again by myself. The English warders on the battlements laughed a coarse laugh, forgetting that everyone must begin, and that there had been a time when they themselves would have fared no better when shot by a jackass. The English never uttered a challenge, nor fired a shot. It was said afterward that, when their men saw the maid riding at the front, and saw how lovely she was, their eager courage cooled down in many cases and vanished in the rest, they feeling certain that the creature was not mortal, but the very child of Satan, and so the officers were prudent, and did not try to make them fight. It was said also that some of the officers were affected by the same superstitious fears. Well, in any case, they never offered to molest us, and we poked by all the grisly fortresses in peace. During the march I caught up on my devotions, which were in arrears, so it was not all loss, and no profit for me after all. It was on this march that the history say Dunois told Joan that the English were expecting reinforcements under the command of Sir John Fastolf, and that she turned upon him and said, "Bastard, bastard, in God's name I warn you to let me know of his coming, as soon as you hear of it, for if he passes without my knowledge you shall lose your head." It may be so, I don't deny it, but I didn't hear it. If she really said it, I think she only meant she would take off his official head, degrade him from his command. It was not like her to threaten a comrade's life. She did have her doubts of her generals, and was entitled to them, for she was all for storm and assault, and they were for holding still, and tiring the English out. Since they did not believe in her way, and were experienced old soldiers, it would be natural for them to prefer their own, and try to get around carrying hers out. But I did hear something that the histories didn't mention, and don't know about. I heard Joan say that now that the garrisons on the other side had been weakened to strengthen those on our side, the most effective point of operations had shifted to the south shore, so she meant to go over there and storm the forts which held the bridge end, and that would open up communication with our own dominions and raise the siege. The generals began to balk, privately, right away, but they only baffled and delayed her, and that for only 4 days. All Orleans met the army at the gate, and huzzaed it through the bannered streets to its various quarters, but nobody had to rock it to sleep. It slumped down dog-tired, for Dunois had rushed it without mercy, and for the next 24 hours it would be quiet, all but the snoring. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.